So it's one out in the eighth inning for the Red Sox. There's still have runners on first and second. And Jaime Munoz, the Boston left fielder, is at bat. Score still 7-1 in favor of the White Sox. Still looks at second, then throws, and the hitter swings a long high fly to center field. Petrovic is waiting back there. Has it for the second out. The runner from second is going to third, and Petrovic's long throw into second base holds Cook at first base. So it's two out in the eighth inning for the Red Sox. They still have runners on first and third. And Jimmy Fox is at bat. Jimmy still stands there talking to the umpire about something or other. Finally steps up to the plate. And Kane is ready to pitch to him. Throws. Jim takes the curveball wide for ball one. One ball called. The shrill whistle you hear every so often, of course, is caused by Al Shaq down there in the coaching line, and some of the fans in the stands then usually answer him. Throws again, and Fox gets ball two. Another curveball wide and low. So it's 2-0 on Jim. Two balls and no strikes. We're nothing to count. He hits the neck. The pop fly coming down back of the plate. Foul. Sewell is following it over toward the stand. Has it, and it's three outs. Getting good support as well, but the real retiring of the side there was done by the pitcher who, after allowing a hit and a walk to open the inning, came through in great shape to pull through unscathed. No run, one hit, two men left on base in the first half of the eighth inning. And the score is still 7-1. White Sox leading Boston as the White Sox come to bat in the last half of the eighth inning with Mulehaus, the first hitter, and a new pitcher in there for the Red Sox. Had a call asking about the estimate of the crowd. The best guess we can give is about, I would say, 32,000. Possibly, it runs between 30 and 35, so any number in there would be a good guess. Henry is the pitcher now for the Red Sox. Another right-hander, tall, slim boy, not skinny, but rather slim. Finishing his warm-up down there with Mo Berg as Mulehaus stands there at the plate waiting to start the last half of the eighth inning. Pitcher gets the ball after it's been thrown to second base. We're ready to go in the last half of the eighth. Henry starts the windup. Pitches, and the hitter fouls the ball back to the screen for a strike. One strike on Hart. That's the handed hitter. Ball rolled up the top of the screen and stuck up there. The little space between the screen and the second deck of the stand. And there's a ball. It's wide and low for the count. It's one ball and one strike on Hart. One and one. Again, pitches and mule swings. Hits a beauty down the left field line, going way on down to the corner. Hams off the front of the canvas, and Mule is easily pulling up at second base. A double just inside the left field foul line, and it puts Haas on second base to open the eighth inning, bringing Manura, Pete Manura at bat. Deep with two walks, a single, and a home run, and he scored three runs. Steps up there. Turns around with the second pitches, and Zeke swings to foul the ball out of the roof of the stand above and to the left of the plate, and it's strike one. One strike to tell, or rather two strikes on Benoit. George. You're bouncing around there picking things up. What a blown run, eh? What? Right. Henry throws again and Zeke swings it a high fly out back to second base. Second baseman Conner's back there. So is Conner. And Joe makes the catch, standing right alongside of Conner for the first out in the eighth inning. One out in the eighth inning for White Sox. And Luke Appling getting a nice hand as he comes up there with his record of one walk, three singles, and three runs. In this ball game. He throws now and he hits the drive of Judy as he scores it down the right field line. Right fielder makes a nice catch on the ball and throws it over to second base. The old Appling at first. Luke took a big turn there because there was nobody covering first. Fox having run partway down the line. But a quick throw from Cook drove him back to first base. And on his fourth single, Fox scores the White Sox eighth run of the game to give them an 8-1 lead over the Red Sox. And Jackie Hayes is up there to play. Hayes at bat. Jackie swings, hits a long drive down the left field line, but it's going foul and lands back in the left field seat. Foul for strike one. One strike on Hayes. Again, and Jackie hits the ball back through the box in the center field. Another base hit. Appling makes the turn. The center fielder gets the ball and throws it right back in, and he hops back, second in a hurry. That's Hayes' third hit besides the sacrifice. Got Jackie out just once. The charge against him that was when he struck out in the third inning. The White Sox have runners on first and second with one out, one run already home in the eighth inning. And Jimmy Dyke with a bat. Dyke's the hitter. And Jim takes the curveball for a ball. It broke sharply down over the plate, too low. And it's one ball called on Dutch. Throws again, and Jim swings and misses a high fastball inside for strike one. So it's one and one. One ball and one strike. Bowers, another pitcher, has gone down to the bullpen to start a hasty warm-up for the Red Sox. Dyke swings it. The next one, a drive right straight out to Cook in right field. Dusty gets it and throws in very fast. And Appling, who had gone back and touched up and then taking the lead again, goes back to second base. Line drive right straight at Cook. So it's two out in the eighth inning for the White Sox. Two out. And Sewell is at bat. Luke Sewell up there now. Watch the man at second and throws. And Luke throws this ball high into the second deck above and to the right of the plate for strike one. One strike on Sewell. Out there again. And there's a ball wide and low for the county. It's one and one. One ball and one strike. One ball and one strike. Still swings again to hit a bounder out into left field for a base hit. Runner from second is around third on his way in. And the left fielder got the ball and threw it over to third base. There was nobody there covering. Werber was over in the shortstop position for some reason or other, and Cronin was over out in left field where that ball had gone, and the pitcher hadn't gone over to cover, so Manush got the ball and threw it over to third base, and he gets an error on the throw. Through no fault of his own, there was nobody covering there. It's a single to left field by Sewell, his fourth hit in a row, by the way. It scores Appling. Now Keene is up there getting a nice hand. He steps up there. Scored Appling and put Hayes on second, and then the two runners advanced to base when the left fielder threw the ball at an uncovered third base. Kane hits the first pitch for a high foul, and Werber drops it. Down back to third base. Werber is having a very bad day out there, and he dropped that foul after being right under it. Probably he'll be charged with an error on that also. Inside the ball one, so the count is 1-1. Of course, Sirk was going to be out that time, but he wasn't. One ball and one strike. And he hits another foul down the left field line, but back into the seats this time, and it's 1-2. Pitches and there's a strike over the heart of the plate, waist high. Should let it go by without bearing after it. And he's called out on strike for the third out in the eighth inning. Apparently, there's no error called on Werber on that foul because the wind blew it. Apparently, the wind is very treacherous today, blowing first one way and then another. And they didn't call an error on him. But in the last half of the eighth inning, the White Sox had two runs, four hits, with one error, and there were two men left on the base. The error did not cost a run. And the score is now 9-1 in favor of the White Sox at the end of the eighth inning. And here's one more correction in the scoring. We checked up with Wayne Otto, a good old keeper, and the official score over in the press box. On the one that Poole hit in the seventh inning, that somebody mistakenly relayed to us as an error. That was not an error, so in your technical score, that this is a keeper score, you can change that time of bat of Poole's in the seventh inning to a hit. And also that score of Benora, but happening on third, and Dykes on second. So there was no error there. Now we're ready to go in the ninth inning with Connor at bat taking the first pitch inside and low for ball one. One ball called. And the pitcher winds up, throws for a strike over the heart of the plate knee high, making it 1-1. One and one to count. And ball two, a third ball comes in very wide, for two balls and one strike on Connor. King's next pitch is ball three, high and wide, so it's three balls and one strike, three and one. And ball four, inside and low, gives Connor a base on ball. Puts him on first base with nobody out in the ninth inning. And Cronin, Joe Cronin, the shortstop and manager, is at bat. Kane stands there rubbing up the ball as he works the pitch to Joe. Pitches and still takes a strike over the heart of the plate down around the knee. Still watches first and throws again for strike two. A beauty letter high, about waist high over the heart of the plate, and it's two strikes on Crum. Two strikes to count. There's again, and Joe swings in a high fly out into right center field, which is going over very, very fast, and makes a running catch way, way out there. A nice play by Cleveland, who had to go a long way to get that ball and keep right on going up to the minute he snatched it out of the air. So it's one out of the ninth inning for the Red Sox. Connor is
two on first base, and Bill Werber is at bat. Werber up there at the plate. Green gets ready to pitch the first one, throws. Werber swings a high fly into short center field. Appling is back in the grass, calling for the ball. Has it, and it's two out of the ninth inning. Luke went pretty well back for that. Hayes started back also, but then raced over to cover second. Dykes is also tearing over there. Do the same thing. So it's two out of the ninth inning for the Red Sox. Croner is still on first base. And Moberg at the bat. Berg up there. Throws the first one in most swings. The top fly coming down foul to the left of the plate. Sewell is jogging back under it as the wind takes it. Gets it. It's three out. And the Sox win the ball game by a score of 9-1. And Kane picked himself a great ball game to do it. These two athletic pitchers have certainly done a grand job for Jimmy Dykes, which is one of the nicest testimonials I know for the way the athletic players themselves felt about Jimmy. And after he left the club, how they all wanted to come here and pitch for it. He totals. Had 9 runs, 16 hits, no errors, and they had 12 men left on the bases. The Red Sox had 1 run, 6 hits, 1 error, with 7 men left on the bases. Time of the game, an hour and 56 minutes. The winning pitcher, Kane, the losing pitcher, Russell. Totals again, White Sox 9 runs, 16 hits, no errors, with 12 men left. Red Sox 1 run, 6 hits, 1 error, with 7 men left. Time 1:56, the winning pitcher Kane, losing pitcher Russell. The second game of the doubleheader will start in approximately 20 minutes, which means just about 10 minutes to 4 Chicago time, and we'll be with you just before that time with the story of the lineups and such things, and be all ready for the first pitch when it comes up. In the meantime, we have entertainment waiting for you at the studio, and so Al Cotton's going to bid you just a temporary good afternoon from Comiskey Park. We'll see you again in about 20 minutes, but in the meantime, bye now.